This is a HeadGum Original.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Very nice. That is All American Rejects, a parody of Dirty Little Secret off the album Move Along. Now, let's you and I move along and go right into the show without thanking the artist who wrote it.
Why?
What's up?
What's up is that was written by Lauren M. from Toronto. He sent us a bunch of theme songs over the years. I just found this treasure trove. Not only does he have a dirty little secret, yeah, we got some Newfound Glory ones, Blink-182 ones, so I'll play one at the end of the show too, so shout out to him.
Dope.
He's a huge NatPod fan as well, and NatPod is the reason he plays D&D with his friends, so I thought it would be nice.
I thank you for that.
Yeah.
why don't we give this guy a nice little shout out? I think he deserves, an attaboy. I know you wanted to move right into the show, but was there anything that he wanted to plug there?
You're not in charge. I'm doing what we usually do, regardless of what you say. First, he wanted to move on, and I didn't. Then I gave him the shout out, and now you want to harp on it. So both times, no, there's nothing you wanted to plug. I'm not listening to you. You're not in control of anything. That's the short story long.
Let's just roll into the fucking podcast then.
No.
Okay, can we do
let's not. Wow.
You would think that we would agree on that one.
Yeah, now
you're just...
Yeah, now I'm just
yeah,
sort
now you're
of
just
putting
being
my
a
foot,
contrarian.
Yeah, I'm putting my foot down. I want to like sort of hammer home the point that you don't get to decide what's what.
So, yeah, you're trying to like assert your dominance as the podcast.
Exactly.
Here.
Exactly. I will actually. Yeah. I'm going to cut your mic. Hold on a
what?
Second.
No.
There we go. All right. So in post production, yeah, Jake is talking right now, but I've edited him to be silent. This is how much power I have. So like, you don't get. I decide. Here's now just to show you how godlike I am. Here's Jake in a different part of the podcast now.
That is All American Rejects, a parody of Dirty Little Secret.
There we go. So you don't tell me what to do. You don't tell me what to do. I tell you what to
okay.
do.
Okay.
Piece of shit.
Fine,
but,
sir.
Yeah. Happy Passover, by the way. I forgot. I didn't even mention that at the top. So
Chag Sameach, yeah. As they say.
Yeah. This comes out on Monday, so Passover will have started on Saturday.
Wow. Are you going to go breadless? Can you last at least a week without yeast?
I don't know if I can last a week without yeast. I usually give it a go for a few days before slipping in some fashion. Like I'll say, oh shoot, I'll have matzo brei for breakfast and then some matzo pizza for lunch. And then it's like dinner time and it's like, oh, I can't fucking stand this anymore. And I'll just go ham on a challah or eat some yeasty, like nutritional yeast or like
a yeasty treat.
Yeah. I'll have a bagel.
A treasty yeast.
Yeah, because I feel my blood sugar getting low and I just start freaking out a little bit. So.
Yeah, so Passover is really just a time where you eat matzah in addition to bread.
I'll have a Seder. Pasta. Yeah, I'll have a Seder, and that'll be like good, because I'll have the bitter herbs, I'll have the matzah, I'll have
and
the
you
choroset.
Are a bitter herb, to be honest.
Not really. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Yes, you are.
I'm a little.
I think you're a bitter herb. Dude, the whole entire fucking thing where you edited my voice out of the show and you screamed at me to say that you're in charge, I think that makes you a little bit bitter. And like being in charge of a podcast, sorry, charge, quote unquote, in charge of a podcast. Yeah, that makes you a bit of a herb. So I think you're a bitter herb.
Yeah, it's a.
And you're also one of the fucking plagues. You're a locust. You are a locust.
No way. If anything, I'm blood.
You are.
I'm blood or frogs at worst. There's no way I'm locust.
I think you're fucking. You're a locust and you're a boil.
I really think you're famine and darkness for that. And your death of the firstborn. So fuck off with that. Yeah, that's the big one.
Did we hit them all? Did we hit them all? Famine.
Yeah. Did you mean to say lice?
Lice?
Yeah.
Lice and locust were the same one?
I think it's two different
ones. They're
not
the same?
Then there's one about beasts.
God went fucking ham.
Yeah, there's one about
beasts. Just
yeah, like animals dying or something. Or maybe animals showing up. So, like, a warthog will sort of arrive.
Right. I kind of remember that from the movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
Which would, in theory, be good for those olden days where they, like, needed to, you know, be shepherds and stuff to get meat. But cool.
Yeah.
Either way.
Yeah, that's what makes you think. Maybe the plague of beasts was that they died, not that they just showed up having had.
Right. Yeah. A cow showed up at my door, and now I can eat for a month.
Yeah, because he already had dinner or something like that. And then, of course, the big one, which we all were forgetting, the you know that big plague, that plague that we all could say, we all know, we all have.
I think we did 10.
We did. Did we? 10. Did we?
I think we did 10.
Yeah, because I'm sort of it's coming to me a little bit. I'm starting
Are you Googling it right now? Are you like looking up a list of all the plagues?
No.
Feels like you are.
Yeah, hail.
You're like not even
actually
like, hail.
Yeah.
Okay. Right.
That's right.
That was a really unconvincing way to vamp.
It
by the way,
snowed ice.
You went monotone.
And then, of course, there's the 11th plague, COVID. So we're gonna do like the extra, like when you dip your little pinky in the wine and do it on the plate. I think it would be kind of cheeky to do the 11th one. Like,
are you,
sort of a way
to go to a huge in-person mask-off non-social distance Seder. Right?
I'm an anti-vaxxer. I'm an anti-vaxxer.
You're going to a super synagogue.
Yeah, that's right. So it's 11,000 Chabad people and me sort of flinging matzah in a maskless environment. Sort of joking around about the 11th plague.
It's a Jewish Burning Man, okay? Yeah.
God, you just described
imagine
my
you're
fucking
getting bar
dream.
Mitzvahed by Diplo.
How dope is that? Imagine your Cantor is Macklemore and your Haftorah is Thrift Shop. I'm going to go to Sinai. Oh my God.
I'm going to land some boils. I only got one frog in my pocket.
Uh-oh, here's Moses. And now here's Joshua. He's wearing a coat. So the coat, the Technicolor dream coat is the crossover.
I see.
Yeah.
I see.
Yeah. Walk up to this Bible like, what up? I got a big cock. And then the rabbi shoes me off the dais. All right, that's... quite enough.
You trip over your tallis.
I shouldn't have got extra long. Paralyzed. Good stuff. Great job, by the way. That was a good Nice bit. A nice bit of comedy.
You're still acting like you're the what fucking
else?
Boss.
What else
you do
we got?
You don't get to get the accolades.
Golden mics for both of us for that.
yeah, right. I don't fucking think so. I don't think so.
I'm going to like pepper them out throughout the episode or whatever. You get one, I get one. You can have one more. You can have two.
No, that's good. Why don't we just make the award not special by giving it to both of us? Like it means fucking nothing. Like it's not a competition. Like it's not something you can win, something you can earn. Yeah, it's not a participation ribbon. It's not a party favor at your birthday party. I don't think so.
Yeah.
No, nothing close. It's an accolade, it's an award, it's a trophy. You don't get to stand on the podium.
Nice.
You've been awarded the tourney.
Right.
For defamation against the Golden Mike. For treating it like a fucking like a trinket. And it's not.
Okay.
It's a crown jewel.
You made your point.
I did make my point. And actually, because I made the point so powerfully, I'll be taking the golden mic. Not because I earned it, but because I need to protect it from a fiendish little ghoul like you who wants to get your grubby little paws on it and give it to everybody like it's a fucking goodie bag. And that's not how it works. All right. Let's move on to the show.
Now it's actually, time. So we are going to do it. But, yeah. Okay.
Let's have fun. Let's have fun and let's keep it light. Let's just, try to enjoy each other's company.
This is...
crack wise and be silly.
Okay.
Okay?
This is...
I know. You hate me. I hate
I
you.
I don't.
And let's just...
I don't. Just but that's fucking... interesting to hear about the other one. Yeah. So it's clear that you hate me.
Let's just get this over with, but try to have a good time. All right?
Yeah. This is If I Were You, the only vice podcast on the web hosted by us, though I guess you hate me. I'm Amir.
And I'm Jake. Let's try to be silly, man.
Silly, you just dropped this fucking really emotional bomb on my ass, and you want me to do a fucking Bullwinkle voice?
Yeah, people don't fucking come, they don't tune in to hear like our drama, our beef, the goings on between us is fucking dire as it is sometimes.
I didn't even think
they want to hear.
Yeah.
I just want to hear comedy. And,
we got an email from a guy who works at a law firm.
Come on, be jovial. Be jovial.
We got an email from someone that works at a law firm. Let's call him.
Really? You're weeping.
Danny Dickless or something.
That's good. That's very good.
Thank you.
It's almost Golden Mike worthy if you didn't trip over your dick and fumble the whole trophy to me this episode.
Yeah. Danny Dickless writes, "This male girl has been flirting with me and she's got a banging body. I have no supervisory authority over her. She's in a different department. So should I ask her out or is this too close to the workplace?" And then I replied, "Is this like a male woman or like a male person at your company?" And he said, "I'm an attorney at a law firm." So I think it's the male person at his law firm.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
Does that what make it better?
Do you do?
Better or worse than the male lady?
I think it makes it maybe a little worse. Like if she was a male person, then she'd be an employee of the federal government.
Yeah.
But as it stands, she's an employee of your employer. But at least you aren't like, you don't like have any kind of like power over her job.
Yeah. At first, I thought he meant male lady, which is kind of cool. I don't really think about...
Yeah.
For some reason, all the male people in my life have been, like, 60-year-old. But, like, I guess there's a world where, like, your male person is, like, 28, right? Like,
yeah, I've seen some hot male people, especially in New York. It's like a young person's game here.
Is it a male person or is it like an Amazon or a FedEx or a UPS? Because I've seen some UPS guys with monster quads, sick calves,
yeah,
and a, oh, yeah, and a hot shirt,
and the fucking form-fitting shorts. Yeah,
yeah,
definitely. You see a little bit of both. You see I think the UPS and like FedEx, it feels like they've got the highest quotient of hot drivers. But no, I've seen some hot, like straight up federal couriers as well.
We should do like a Hooters, but for male, like almost like imagine a world where instead of getting a package, you get something else, but from a guy who's rocking a package.
Yeah, it's got like booty shorts, and your dog would stop barking and it would start howling. Ow!
Yeah, and it would be really expensive because we'd have to like pay for like, yeah, like an airplane, yeah. I guess. How does it work with UPS? Like if I'm sending shit to fucking Spain, we'd have to figure that out. Right. It's almost like a courier of sorts, but there's
a
nine.
Yeah, there's customs to be associated with that for sure. There's like tariff codes. There's a lot of taxes you have to log, to be honest. But I feel like as long as you have the fleet of like trucks and then you have the,
it's a,
you know,
I need international jets. Business, like almost cargo. Almost a cargo.
Shipping containers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Imagine Maersk on fucking booty shorts.
Damn.
What?
Yeah. You know the huge boat that got stuck in the Suez Canal? Like, that could have been us, like a 200 megaton mm-hmm. fleet. And the captain is on fleek.
You would have wanted to be stuck on there.
Yeah.
You'd want to be stuck on that boat because it's a fucking party yacht.
Yeah, like a fucking booze cruise situation. So, like, instead of... Whatever, we're shipping shit ultimately, but a lot of it has to do with champagne models and bottles and just fucking going ham, whether it be in the Philippines or like Ibiza or wherever. And like, it's just.
And we can get it there early. We can get it there ahead of schedule and we'll give you good tracking info. Okay.
Yeah.
That's not an issue.
That seems hard to figure out though. Like, how would I know if I'm just partying on a fucking yacht with Michael Eisner? And I have an envelope that has to go to Denver. How do I get that information?
Like, how do I? I'm wasted and I'm wearing a tiny bathing suit. I need to get this letter to Denver, but everyone around me is too hot.
Yeah, like you're sort of, I guess, freak dancing with two nines and you're
at that point
in Greece.
You could do like, yeah, if you're in Greece and you have a letter that needs to get to Denver, but you're too drunk and you're partying too hard.
You're rolling.
Reach out to the person. You're rolling. You wait to come down in the morning during like the fucking Suicide Monday. You know, you have like you're on your come down. You can take a picture of the inside of
the package. Yeah.
And like read it. Yeah. And you could like read it to somebody. If it's just a letter, then it's no big deal.
We could
just fucking read it.
Faxes. Because Kinko's, I think, and faxes. Yeah, you could, and there should be one of them on the yacht. I'm so sorry, man. I didn't really think this through, but I can fax this package, but it's like a gift, so like it doesn't really make sense. How would you
Isner.
Fax? Who's that?
Eisner.
Oh, that's Michael Eisner. There's
Michael Eisner and then also John Isner, the
tennis player. That's cool.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's Jack Thunderous, Sock. Sir. Yeah, and he's also on the boat. Jack Sock, John Isner, Michael Eisner, two models, and you in a fucking letter. Are you kidding me?
Denver.
Are you fucking joking me with that? People would pay top dollar. I guess this person should not sort of flirt with somebody at the company. It might be conflict of interest. He's a higher up. You know, he's an attorney at this law firm. I'm sure he knows the law better than I do. About what's legal. Why is he asking us for
legal
advice?
It's not legal advice, it's moral advice. So I think that it's similar to the barista situation. Like, you don't necessarily want to put it all out there because if you get rejected, you have to see this person every single day and it's uncomfortable. So all you can do is just patiently continue the flirtation that you guys are both enjoying. And that's kind of all you can do. And see what happens.
Yeah.
It's a long game.
And do let me know about the the mail idea, if you wanted to, because we probably need a lawyer to figure all the stuff out in terms of, like, we would need to make an LLC or something before we get on the boat.
Yeah.
Right?
Or at least a partnership. And we would need to, like, I really wonder what the difference in price is from, like, leasing a fleet or trying to just, like, fucking, I don't even know, own it somehow. Is that fucking bananas?
Like, how much to be how, like, how much do you think someone would pay for a letter to get from Greece to Denver?
Yeah, because you could maybe collect the mail first. People pay for the shipping up front. You take that cash and you turn around and you buy a small fleet.
Yeah. Like how much is 12 boats? Look on.
Okay. I'm looking up how much a shipping container costs.
Just a container, like a box?
No, okay. Oh no, the ship, Jesus Christ. The shipping containers are like $3,500. Container, I need to word this differently. Container ship cost. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, fuck.
What?
No way.
Shoot me straight. Don't soft sell it, because I need to know the total costs before we launch.
Well, do you want a fucking geared 500 TEU container ship, or are you looking at the gearless?
Gearless.
The gearless ship.
I was going to say.
12,000 TEU.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's, yeah. I mean, you aren't going to want a 500 TEU ship, because it's not going to help you. You're not a courier that's worth a damn if you're only shipping 500 TEU. And that's like, so this is, we're looking at, I think this is new, but it's still,
I could probably
100,000, 74 to 105
million. 105
million. This is yeah.
Oh, that's a gut punch. Considering we need 12. At that point, we're looking to raise 1.2 billion, and our plan is to just sort of get high with Jack Sock on a sailing boat. So we don't really have a good story to sell to the venture capitalists there. Yeah.
There's not a good why us. Like, I mean,
there's an interesting origin, because we're sort of like, we have the audio file of like us coming up with this idea.
That's true.
Okay. Let's take a break and we'll crunch some numbers and maybe we can go.
Because we could also crowdfund this.
I was going to say we can Kickstarter GoFundMe this shit. If it's only one, if we can get it under 1.2 billion, I feel like there's enough.
Yeah. Well, let me look. Because I can look and see, these are brand new shipping containers.
I have a rash. 500 I have a rash of the excitement about coming up with this idea. So I feel like we should execute. But yeah, I have this under my arm.
That looks like it's been there a long time. There's no way you got that just
it's
now.
The boils. It's the boils.
You're scratching at it.
Holy shit, the plagues are coming early. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back on the other side of these messages. Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode of our show.
Oh yeah, baby.
It can be easy to ignore your social battery and spread yourself thin, but that's not helping anybody.
Right on. It is not.
If you're feeling depressed or anxious about the state of the world or some sort of interpersonal relationship you're having with family, friends, loved ones, your job potentially.
Oh yeah, that's true.
The best way to help yourself out of life's difficult situations is to talk to a professionally licensed therapist. And the best way to find a therapist is with BetterHelp.
Exactly. Right.
Finding a therapist used to be so difficult. You used to like have to ask a friend of a friend, drive to a waiting room, give it a shot, see how it goes. But with BetterHelp, you just fill out a brief questionnaire, you get matched with a licensed therapist right away, and you can switch therapists at any time for no additional charge.
Perfect.
And you know the whole thing's online too.
Oh yeah. So you don't have to drive somewhere. You don't have to sit anywhere. You can just log on from your house. You can even text your therapist, which is very nice.
That's cool. So find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Just visit betterhelp.com/segments today to get 10% off your first month. Therapists can be very expensive. With BetterHelp, they're affordable. And if you go to BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments, you'll even get an extra 10% off their already more affordable price for your first month.
You'll love to hear it.
So treat your mental health seriously. Take advantage of this great offer. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/segments.
Segments.
Thank you, BetterHelp.
This HeadGum podcast is brought to you by Aura Frames.
That is right.
From grandmothers to new mothers, aunts, even the friends of your life, every mom loves an Aura Frame.
Holy shit, even aunts?
Yes, especially aunts.
Oh, well.
Because it was named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter and selected as one of Oprah's favorite things. I mean, these Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
I believe it.
You have an Aura Frame, don't you?
Yes, I actually more than believe it. I know it. I've got one for my mom, my mother-in-law, my grandmother-in-law.
And dare I say, your aunt?
And dare you say, my aunt and my aunt-in-law. Everyone's got one. Everyone loves them.
I mean, Mother's Day is right around the corner, and there's no better gift than a digital photo frame. You give them the frame. It's got preloaded pictures in there. And you know what? You can update it with an app. So every time you take a new picture of a sweet little person or place or thing in your life, it gets automatically sent to that frame.
Exactly.
And right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. Holy smokes.
Excellent deal.
Yeah, that's AuraFrames.com. You use the code HEADGUM at checkout to save.
HEADGUM. Nice.
Yes. HeadGum. It's easy to set up. It's loved by everybody, including Oprah, including your aunt.
Mm-hmm.
So do check them out. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code HeadGum at checkout to save.
Damn right.
And terms and conditions apply, of course.
Of course.
Thanks again to Aura. And we're back. Jake, do you have any?
Oh, it's a little sooner than five.
Yeah. Yeah, I do. It's called fucking yoga. And it's called doing it for 10 friggin' minutes. Yeah.
10-minute yoga? That's enough?
It's enough to get a tiny little benefit, I think. I mean, I feel like for me, I've always wanted to do yoga. And there have been times in my life where I like was pretty regular about doing yoga. But always, eventually, like the fact that it took at least an hour, and sometimes the in-person classes were like an hour and 15 minutes, it just was like such a time commitment. And then I started doing like just kind of like online exercise, and I'll do different, you know, like cardio ones, strength ones, well, all these different classes. And one of them is yoga. And I was like, I'll give it a shot. And then I was just sorting by like 20 minutes for your hips, 15 minutes for your legs. And now I just started kind of do it like starting my morning with I'll exercise, do whatever. And then at the end, 10 minutes of yoga. It's kind of like a really nice guided stretch that's like more active.
Yeah, yoga seems like I've never done a specific yoga class, but I've seen like yoga videos and it's like everything from stretching your legs to like impossible positions that I couldn't do in 120 degree heat. So like yoga is a very general blanket statement.
Yeah, I think I feel like for what I used to think yoga was, I was like, oh, this is like a good workout. It's a core strength. You're like holding planks. You're like holding poses. You're doing headstands. And that's not why I do yoga anymore. Like I like other exercise for my strength building, and I want yoga for like to relieve tightness and give me flexibility.
Right.
So I'm just doing these like very, very targeted short bursts of yoga that like basically you can search yoga for anything, like whatever you think is bothering you, like if your neck's feeling tight, like, and then you just get basically 10 minutes of neck stretches, but it feels a little bit more like it's not just like sitting and doing different stretches. It's like a flow. And I think it's great.
So what app do you use? Do you just YouTube that shit?
Well, there's a free person on YouTube called Yoga with Adrienne, who is the GOAT. She is the actual GOAT yoga instructor. But I'm a Peloton boy. So I'm using the Peloton app, which anyone can try for free for 7 days.
Do you think you go back?
Or maybe longer.
Do you think you go back to indoor exercise anytime soon, or it's unnecessary, unneeded, even in the new world?
I think my hope is that gyms cost a lot less money, because I'd like to belong to a gym, but go there like once or twice a week. I used to go to the gym either at least 4 times a week, kind of. And I feel like that just took a lot out of me. So now I would prefer to work out, like do these like bike exercises or like at home strength training stuff mixed with bike riding. But then every once in a while, just go to the gym and lift, which I still like, but I don't want to do it all the time. And I feel like gyms were always so expensive that you'd want to like get your money worth, your money's worth.
Right. I guess the question will be, will gyms be even more money when they get back? Because they're desperate. And hopefully people are so desperate to get back there that they could charge more. It's going to be interesting to find out.
I think that's, yeah, it seems like that's probably what's going to happen. But I do wish I could just go to the gym. I want to pay for a gym membership that's like 5 times a month, just so I can go there, use like the big heavy machines, but the rest of the time just chilling at home.
Yeah.
Do you miss the gym?
Kind of, yeah. I don't miss driving to work out like 20 minutes to one just to do gym exercises, but I definitely worked out harder in a gym because, you know, you actually do have to drive there. I don't have like a bench press or like many weights at home. So like I do what I can at home, but I mostly don't work out as hard as I do when I was going to the gym or playing basketball. Like I'm not sprinting anymore. So I feel like I'm going to be get very winded very soon once we start running around again.
Yeah. But you play tennis, right?
Yeah. Tennis is pretty good, but it's not as continuous as basketball was.
Right. Yeah. That's true.
Especially because I'm like, not to bring up Jack Sock again, but I have this pretty nasty inside out forehand, and it's just like I rip it down the line, and whether
oh my god even just doing that motion is that you're that looks like it's really bothering your rash. I mean, my god,
it's not my rash, it's my fucking labrum. I think I tore a lot.
Holy shit.
Yeah,
it just squirted your computer camera. Holy shit, you're gooey.
I'm fucking gooey. You know Huey, Dewey, and Louie. Yeah,
yeah,
I'm gooey, so nice. I'm seeping more than anything. All right, yoga, 10 minutes. Get into it. Here's a question about a tattoo from a lady. So why don't we call her Audrey Tattoo, the actress from Amelie, whose last name was Tattoo, I think.
Cool.
Here's my problem. I promised my mother that the next time I get a tattoo, I'd show it to her. So I recently showed her some new art that I was planning on getting, and she called it, quote, big and ugly. What I didn't tell her was that later that day, I had an appointment to get it, which I then secretly went to do. Then, the day after I got it, she came to me with a deal. If I waited 6 months and I still wanted it, she would pay for it herself. So here's my question. Should I tell my mom in a couple weeks that I decided to get it anyway, or should I hide it for 6 months, then get her to send me money for it and pretend to go and get it?
Mm.
Love, Audrey. Ooh, interesting.
Very interesting.
So the mom's like, just wait 6 months and you'll hopefully change your mind. And I'm willing to bet on that because if I lose, then you'll get the tattoo on me.
Yeah. So interesting. Okay. I guess... I think I have the answer, so I think you should pontificate, and then I'll deliver the actual answer.
I think it's probably not. I mean, it's in the spirit of her bet. If you still wanted to get it in 6 months, then she would have paid for it, and then you would have gotten it. So it's not a complete lie, though it is kind of a lie to your mother, because you actually already got the tattoo, so that's going to affect the rules of the wager. Like, maybe if you didn't get the tattoo, you wouldn't want it. And now that you have it, I wonder if you can change it up and say, in 6 months, if I don't want it anymore, will you pay for the removal of it? That way, it's still a six-month wager, a test, and she still has to pay, and ultimately, you might have to get it removed, which your mom would want anyway. But yeah, I would feel a little bit too bad lying for 6 months. What if she sees it?
Yeah. That's all right. Good. That's where I landed as well.
Don't lie.
I think that, well, actually, I think you could do a mix of both, but you're not going to like the answer. I think you lie, so your mom doesn't know that you were a bad child. You lie, so you didn't get it yet. But then wait 6 months and you say, I still want the tattoo, but I'm going to pay for it myself. So your mom feels like you're a responsible, well-rounded adult.
That's nice.
And yeah, it's a happy ending because you did already pay for it. You're not going to try to rob your mom, and you don't want to make her feel bad like you just turned around after she said it was ugly and you got a tattoo. Come on.
You got 3 tattoos and 2 of them removed, so it's almost like your mom should have made this wager with you. You would have gotten only 1 tattoo maybe.
That's true. But if my mom and dad had given me more money, then I would have way worse tattoos. There would be more of them and they'd be bigger. So
you're saying they were cost prohibitive, the tattoos you wanted to get.
Thank God, yeah. So like I have three tattoos that each one cost $50 because that was like the tattoo place minimum, but they're all really small. But I wanted a $250 tattoo. And
what were you hoping for there? What kind of piece did you want? Show me the art.
I think I talked about it on this show before. It was really fucking gross. It was like a nude fairy like hugging a lotus flower.
Jesus. It must suck to have a kid who wants that, because then you're like, where did I go wrong? And then it's like, if they're 18 and they can get it, you really like, you got nothing.
And like, I didn't have other shit going on, so they couldn't be like, oh, Jake is this and this, but he wants a tattoo, but at least he's blank. You know, it was like I was a college dropout failing, working at a part-time job, couldn't stay in school, living in the basement, wanting tattoos of fairies on my back.
I actually got a Hyundai Elantra insignia on the inside of my ass. Yeah.
Why? You drive a Mazda.
Right? It doesn't make any sense. But I guess when you're 29, you like don't know better. I will say you got one removed that you have to get retattooed onto your person, don't you? There's a family tattoo, one word per person, and you got yours removed. So then you have to restick it on your body. Is there plans to do that?
That's right. I was actually thinking about it yesterday. I have not found a place on my body where I have consistently wanted it for a long time. I think I want it on my quad now.
Quad.
Quad, God, yeah.
Front, back, side.
Front, left, quad, mid thigh. I guess like right around, maybe like a cup, like an inch where, an inch below where like a boxer brief might fall.
Oh, so you want it to come out during a little peekaboo during when you're wearing boxers, but a hidden aboo when you're wearing shorts.
Yeah. If I'm wearing shorts, you can't see it. And then if I like sit down on a bench in a beer garden and you see my legs, then you might see a hint of the tattoo at the base of my shorts, mid thigh, on the quad, on the day.
And would you have to shave that area, or are you a hairless kind of thigh guy?
I don't have a lot of hair on my thighs, but they would definitely shave before they inked it. There's something there. There's a little hair, you know?
Yeah, I wonder if that would hurt, because it's a pretty sensitive area.
I mean,
you seem pretty thin-skinned.
It's pretty sensitive. No, there's a lot of meat there. There's a lot of beef on that.
Yeah, I guess I imagine like where I scratch, where does it hurt? And if it's like above my hairline on my quad, that seems pretty sensitive.
Maybe so, but I think that like if there's a lot of like fat and muscle, it's okay. You don't want it like on your where there's just like skin and bone. I think that seems like it hurts a lot more.
Ow.
Yeah. You would never get a tattoo, is that right?
God no. All right. So ultimately for this lady, don't lie to your mom, right?
Yeah. I don't think it's worth it to lie to the mom.
Okay. All right. We need to answer more questions. Let's take one more break, come back and answer more cues after these messages.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe, now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
And we're back.
Okay.
Can I interest you in another question? Actually, we got a funny email before we even answer a question. That sort of segues into the question.
All right, sure. Let's fire away.
Yeah, this one is about, well, let's just read it. It's from a lady in Boston who says, in April of 2016, you guys had a live show in Boston. That's me and you. Do you remember that one?
April 2016. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. I think so.
Yeah. I sort of remember.
We took a train.
Yeah. I remember that. It was rainy.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
The Amtrak. I do remember. So, I absolutely remember.
She said, me and my friend were in college and had been huge fans of yours since middle school. And we were so excited for the show. We thought it was going to be a good idea to get hammered before. And we do not remember anything about the show besides the fact that we were shouting obscenities at you guys at one point. And then I tried to go to the bathroom, but I accidentally opened the huge emergency exit balcony doors. You guys never released the podcast, and we have been wondering to this day if we ruined the show or there were other people that were just as drunk or obnoxious as us. So we just wanted to say we're sorry if we ruined the show, and also we really would like you to release the podcast so you know what we missed out on. So we know what we missed out on. Sincerely, your worst fans, Gabby and Jen. We don't have to preserve their anonymity. They're owning up to it.
Right. I'm trying to remember. I don't know if I do remember.
I don't.
That happening.
Not specifically. I mean, there has been times where we're at a live show and there's like people who are a little more boisterous than others.
Yeah. I know that there has been times where I've been annoyed at people in the crowd who are like extra drunk and being loud.
Yeah.
But I think I've been more annoyed at people in the crowd who weren't laughing. So actually, if you came to a show and didn't have a good time, I'm more mad at you.
You're talking about people, even in the background, like somebody's boyfriend came, or like you're talking about front row, arms folded. I paid for a ticket and I don't like this.
Oh, yeah. The front. I feel like there's just been times where we like have like a muted show and I'm pissed. And like I can see like a couple people not laughing, you know?
Yeah.
Or if we got a good laugh and I like look at the audience to like see the teeth, you know, to see some smiles, and I just see somebody's stone face and I'm like, oh God. And then I get shook a little bit, you know, they throw me off my game.
Yeah.
It seems like I would remember a door alarm going off in a balcony.
I don't remember that level. And I wouldn't say we didn't release that show specifically because of the drunken nature of it, though.
Oh, yeah. I can 100% promise that it was not because of you specifically. Like, I feel like every single time we do a live show, we tell them many times in advance that we need the audio, that it's a podcast, that we record the audio, that we release it. And then half the time, they're just like, oh, yeah, no, it didn't work. Or they send it to us and it's like completely corrupted.
Yeah.
So
It's a perfect storm of good audio plus good show plus good audience to make us release a live show.
Yeah. And I mean, we could release it. I feel like we've released shows where, because like you, to get the really good crowd reaction, you also have to have like mic'd the audience. So that's really hard. There's like times where we like, you know, you record an audio and all you hear is like us screaming into the microphone. And like my memory of that show is like us, you know, having a boisterous time with everybody, like laughing, yelling, we're yelling. But then like when you listen to the mix, it just sounds like we're screaming to an empty, surly room.
And it's like when you're doing karaoke and you're drunk, it sounds like you're having the time of your life. But then like when you review the footage the next day, it sounds
you're
like
watching the video.
Overblown, Jesus. Sloppy, terrible singing. Nobody should see that. Like it's so much better when you're there than a recording of it after the fact.
Yeah. And I think that's like the best version of the live show is the ones that never see the light of the day. You know, like that's just a moment for us and the audience. It'll never be released. It'll never be recreated. It's just us, just now. Also, I'm realizing that sometimes when we do like five shows in a row, we repeat questions. So sometimes it's not even on the venue or the audience, and it's on us.
That's right.
Like if we have like a really good question, we try to do it for like a couple different shows. We answer it differently every single time. but that'll happen. So I could imagine that, like, Boston being the end of that run, which I think was Atlanta, D.C., New York, Atlanta, D.C., Philly, New York, Boston. By Boston, we might have, like, been repeating enough questions that we weren't going to release that as well as, like, the New York show or something.
When is live comedy coming back? And, like, when would we come back? Are we, like, in the first wave of, like, first live shows? Like, hey, everybody, come in. 500 people jam-packed into this bar. Or are we, like, let's see how it goes for this stand-up comedian first?
I feel like we'd be in the early stage because we do venues that are in that, like, small sweet spot, like 200 to 500 people. That seems like the first shows that are coming back. And yeah. I would, as long as the scientists are cool with it,
yeah,
then I would do that.
I mean, we did get sick every live tour, whether it be from traveling or shaking thousands of strangers' hands. And now that we realize we're super, like, locked into how diseases get transferred, it makes sense that we always, literally 100% sick,
always sick
rate. Yeah.
Because we would do, we'd do meet where we'd meet, like, hundreds of people, hugging everyone, taking photos with everybody.
Yeah. Coughing and breathing into each other's mouths. Thousands people of people.
Just, like, bringing me shots of whiskey
during the winter. So everybody was trying to get us sick, and it worked. So there's no fear of, like, because if you're vaccinated.
As sick as I was on the road, like, yeah, I still have good memories. I want to go back. Right. I would absolutely go back.
And, like, as long as we're vaxxed up and the success rate of not dying from COVID after getting a vaccine is 100, we can, we're fine getting the flu. We're fine getting it, you think?
Yeah, absolutely. And I guess, I wouldn't want to be the first show back. I don't want there to be a J&A outbreak. You know, that's...
We didn't really... like, factor in the fact that there'd be 500 people in a bar on June 1st. That changes everything.
So we do that late September show.
I see.
Or that Labor Day, or that Memorial Day. Which one's the end of the summer?
Labor.
That's Labor Day.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do that Labor Day weekend shit.
Yeah, back to school style. So you go shopping for notebooks and pens, and then you hit up the fucking, If I Were You Live.
What's the first city that we go back to?
Ooh, the goat route, you mean? Yeah.
Yeah.
Because
we usually did
3 to 5 dates in a row, and it's like, it starts east and it goes west, or starts south and it goes north.
You do a swing.
Yeah.
Right? You do, like, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle.
Yeah, northeast. Or, northwest, right. Mm-hmm. Or we do the
Chicago.
Yeah. Else. Yeah. Chicago, Milwaukee, and Winnipeg.
That's right.
Or we'll do, like, Israel, Bahrain, and Kuwait. Like,
oh, my God.
International.
God damn, how good would it be to do a show in Tel Aviv? I don't even care if fucking no one comes.
I don't care if the airport's closed and we have to quarantine for 3 weeks beforehand. It's worth it.
We want to smoke a hookah in Yafo.
It's worth it for the 21 days in a government-sanctioned motel without any daylight just to get that fucking hummus from Old City.
God damn that hummus.
Yeah, I mean, international shows are, it seems like that's a ways away. Some countries are still closed. Some countries are still going strong, getting their fourth surge. We have to focus not even on Canada, it seems like. That's a scary, like a dangerous way.
But I mean, that's fine because we haven't done a show in America in over a year.
Yeah, we don't need to be adventurous just yet. We can do, I mean, our best shows are what? Atlanta, Chicago, New York, LA, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Philly. Big shows, big cities.
Mm. Yeah.
Austin.
Goddamn. Austin. Wow.
All right, we'll pick and choose. Okay, here's a quick question about alcohol, since we're talking about live shows anyway.
Right, yeah.
I've been casually seeing this guy from Tinder for about 2 months now, writes this lady.
Very nice.
And we've been doing outdoor activities. Recently, we decided to have a dinner date at my place while my roommate was away at her parents' house for the weekend. It was going really well until suddenly he gifted me a bottle of moonshine, which he supposedly makes himself. I was disgusted, beyond belief, considering I rarely drink, and I made it clear that it is illegal and very dangerous. He got offended and that I didn't want to try the moonshine and went on about how much work it takes to produce and how it's a craft he's very proud of. He's never mentioned this passion of his until now, and I'm confused as to why he thought I would drink this when he's only ever seen me drink wine. Am I shitty for not wanting this homemade poison, or should I just end things with this guy? Lots of love. Thanks. Ooh, fake name. Female. Alcohol. Bartender.
Joe.
Joe.
This is my old favorite bartender from New York.
Yeah. So, have you ever done, tried, had moonshine?
Yeah, I've definitely had moonshine. I think there's like...
I think there's different levels of it.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, I feel like I've had like... I've like bought moonshine, like legal moonshine.
Yeah,
maybe it's different to have it than it is to make it.
Yeah, like did he make toilet wine, or did he just like put gin and vodka in a bottle and let it ferment with a fig inside? So like, did he make it in a gross, scary, illegal way, or did he just make jungle juice?
I mean it's fine to not want to try it, but I think there's a difference between like making moonshine and making meth.
Like, yeah, I think she's really turned
off.
This
is like a, yeah, this, I think this is like a craft thing, like brewing your own beer or something. And it sounds like that's the way he thinks of it, at least.
Yeah, when he says he crafted it.
Yeah. But I mean, it's 100% fine to not want it. And it's 100% fine to not respect him for making it. But it does at least sound like he thinks of it as a hobby. And not like he's like bootlegging.
Yeah, prohibition style snake oil salesman going town to town on a paddy wagon.
Yeah.
So hopefully he's not a crazy person where if you say thanks but no thanks, he gets upset. This is a good early indicator, a red flag, if you will, to see how mad he gets when you say, oh, I'm okay, thank you.
You know, Jill actually just made something called vin d'orange.
Oh, interesting.
Which was like...
toothpaste, wine, high C and vodka.
It was like a bunch of oranges, I think wine and vodka.
Like some sort of sangria or something.
Yeah, and she like mixed it all together, with like sugar and it like... And she put it in a tub.
She put it in a shoe.
In a closet. For 40 days. She did 40? This over a month and a half. 40 days.
Jesus.
Yeah, 40 days.
Okay, so then, she emerges with the jar, and then you say...
And then she bought bottles. She bought little bottles, and we had a funnel, and we poured them in. And then this is also... Jill, I've never seen her do anything like this before.
She must have seen like a...
corker.
A what?
She bought a corker. I corked the bottles, and we made four little bottles of vin d'orange, and I don't know if that's legal. Or if I should do a citizen's arrest.
Well, did you sell it or did you give it away?
I didn't, but she offered it to me. And I think I might do a citizen's arrest for that.
No, you don't have to arrest your wife for making you a gift. That's insane. That's a totally different thing.
She didn't make it for me is the problem.
What'd she make it for?
Her new boyfriend.
Okay, so you're sort of taking out other demons. Wait, did you try this drink and was it good?
I did try it. It was pretty good. I think it was, it's very bitter.
I see.
I think that we need to take what she made and use it to make basically mix another cocktail.
I don't
think it's like out of the bottle,
drinkable.
Ready to drink. I think it's got a big kick and I think it's pretty bitter.
It's like a vermouth at this point. You're supposed to sort of use it. In an old fashioned.
It doesn't feel like an aperitif. It feels like a garnish or something.
And then another funny thing about trying to avoid diseases on the road. Did you drink whiskey out of somebody else's shoe in Australia, or was it your own shoe?
I did a shoey, and I drank whiskey out of my shoe.
Still insanely fucking gross. Like, that's a shoe you walk around strange cities in all day, and then you pour alcohol in it and drink from it.
I believe it's on my Instagram.
There's you should have gotten tuberculosis from that. At the very least, you should have gotten some sort of venereal disease. From drinking,
I absolutely deserved it.
Out of a shoe.
Yeah, I did a shoey. I did a shoey. I was pressured into doing a shoey in Australia, but you did it too.
I did it too.
I believe you drank whiskey out of my shoe.
No, what I did, I didn't want to go whole hog, so I took a glove, somebody's driving glove, and I just had some fruit punch out of it. I'm like, this is the farthest I'll go, but I really don't feel comfortable with the shoe and the whiskey.
I really think you drank whiskey out of my shoe.
Yeah, I mean, at a certain point, we were the blackout annoying ones at our own live show when it was in Australia.
That's right.
I bet shoey consumption has been really down since COVID, right? I bet not a lot of shoeys going on. If you took a line graph,
yeah, because there haven't been a lot of live events.
Yeah,
I remember being in Australia and like learning about the shoey because we had like five shows, and it was like at the first show, like the guys that were bringing us all around Australia told us we had our first show in like Adelaide, and that was where we like learned about the shoey.
Right,
and like that's insane. Like, oh my god, imagine if I do a shoey. Uh-huh. And then we had a show in Melbourne where like
somebody
like
else did like, one. Yeah,
yeah. We started like talking. We were like telling the audience, we're like, we heard of this like shoey thing. This is crazy. And then like the Australians were like chanting at us to do the shoey.
Uh-huh.
And then we started like talking about how like, wow, that would probably like be great. Like people would like it because they clearly wanted us to do it. And then by the time we got to Sydney, after finding out about it like 4 days ago, thinking it was the most disgusting thing, I was like going on stage being like, I'm going to fucking do a shoey. I'm drinking whiskey out of my fucking boot.
By the time we left, we were just like eating full meals out of each other's shoes. I remember you put chili in there. You'd have like breakfast, lunch, and dinner. You were eating oatmeal out of your shoes.
I had a flat white that I chugged through your sock. I remember that.
We became so desensitized to it down under. Yeah, by the end of it,
we had a pizza off a sandal.
Yeah, it was just par for the course at a certain point. You had a calzone coming off of somebody else's jeans.
High heel.
You had a stiletto on rye. You weren't even eating food. You were eating the boot on bread.
That's right. Yeah, I ate a ked instead of bread.
A ked. Very good. That's actually good and quite enough. Thank you.
Really?
Yeah, yes. You're starting to show me up. And I appreciate the audience appreciates it, but tread lightly. Or should I say ked lightly?
Nice. Nice.
Thoughts on the awards for that, or we're sticking with
the awards have been given. The awards for this episode have been doled out. They have been received. They have been earned. And that's quite enough. And I do get a second golden mic for the ked.
So they haven't been given out. You're saying they're still available then?
There is one bonus mic, which I actually really appreciate, for the ked line, which I'm quite pleased, cheesed, and chuffed about. I am quite chuffed.
Nice.
So I appreciate it. Thank you all.
All right. If you have your own theme songs or questions, send them on down to ifireshow@gmail.com. More video content every week on our Patreon, patreon.com/JA.
That's right. JA.
And the opening theme song was Lorne from Toronto, another great live show city. He did that Dirty Little Secret. Yeah, Dirty Little Secret parody. But he sent us some other one that I'm going to play at the end right here. I forget. It's another pop punk. You'll love it. You'll love it.
Okay. Yeah. I love it. I love it already.
Maybe Feeling This, My Friends Over You. Any of these ring a bell?
Oh, I mean, yeah. All of them.
Yeah. You love them all.
My Friends Over You.
Yeah. Well, don't get too attached. Yeah. I don't know specifically if it's that one.
Feeling This.
All right. And we'll be back next week. Thanks so much for listening, everybody.
Later.
Stay safe.
It's 4 a.m. and I'm drinking again. It's been a week since my girlfriend left me. Got caught fighting in her girl's DMs. I told her, baby, I swear that it's nothing. But she dumped me despite my protest. And now I'm all alone with a box of Kleenex. At this point, I don't give more than 2 bucks. Should I kill myself inside of a Starbucks? Or I'll check out, I'm in. They'll be there when your world starts crashing. They'll be there to make sure to blast upon you. On a podcast with thousands listening, just send your email.
was a HeadGum Original.
Hey there, podcast listener. Good news. We're doing another HeadGum Happy Hour in New York City.
Whoa, that's amazing news. Amir, why don't you tell the folks when and where it is?
Okay, fine. It's Tuesday, May 7th at 7:30 p.m. at the Bell House.
Okay, and why don't you tell everybody who the fucking hosts are?
Yeah, that would be us. It would be, we're hosting it. It's Jake and Amir.
Okay, and how about this, you little piece of shit? Why don't you tell everybody who is going to be performing? Who is this show featuring?
All right, I don't appreciate being called that, but it is featuring Charlie Bardet, Natalie Rotter-Lateman of Exploration
Live. And why don't you tell them, why don't you tell them who else it's featuring?
Yeah, Millie Tamaras and Elise Morales of the Go Touch Grass podcast, and
some surprise guests as well.
More, yes.
And Mir, why don't you go ahead and close this out now? You say something like, thanks for listening, we'll see you at the show, or something like that. Why don't you go ahead and do that?
I will. Can you do that? So go buy a ticket at headgum.com/live, and we'll see you there.
All right, bye.